The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tandem Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is November the 17th, 2015. It is a Tuesday. And as always, start the show, I want to give much thanks to you all. And also, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all the programming that Black Talk Radio Network brings to you, because it's so important that we keep this medium and this information chain open for you, so that you can hear some of the things that you need to hear from people that care about you. And it has an agenda that's in your best interest and not the overall distorted and propaganda of mainstream media that is nothing more than an avenue to maintain the overall enslavement of us all. So make sure that you tell your friends, tell your family, make any financial or monetary donations to maintain the network. That would be greatly appreciated. It's so needed, because I know that Black Talk Radio Network and all of its programming has blessed you in so many different ways. So return the favor and make sure that the network is there for other people. Also, go to Facebook. On Facebook, check us out, Tando Radio Show. That's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook. And there we have a bunch of articles that we posted. We let you know what the show is going to be about today, and just some different information. If you have any questions or comments, definitely hit us up there. So with that being said, I do want to let you guys know a couple of things that I want to let you guys know. There's a great seasoning that is out on the market right now that is a Black owned company, and it gets all natural ingredients, and the seasoning is absolutely great. And it's called Uncle Fats, and it's something that I think you all should check out and support. And if you're interested in some great all natural seasoning that is absolutely delicious, believe me, it is. You can go to getunclefats@gmail.com. Great seasoning, Black owned company that you should and we should support. So really good. Also, we're going to continue. Anyone that is interested in being a sales rep or a distributor for GNA Security, as you can see with his technology, if you remember the show that we had with him, and we'll have Dr. Alexander back on to talk about his technology, especially with some of the things that's going on throughout the world right now. His technology is going to be a keystone in so many different, in the expansion of that realm. So it'd be a great place to get in at the ground floor with this overall company as it continues to grow internationally. And it's, you know, it's so important that you can get in on a company at the stage at what it is. So if you're interested in being a sales rep or a distributor, you can email me. And as soon as we're going to have three conference calls for sales reps, distributors, professional service individuals, and for investors. And I will let you know when that happened, when that will happen. I think we'll have Gerald on again this week or next week. Not quite sure. We'll let you know. But if you're interested in any one of those, sales rep or distributor, please, you can send me a email at wolf like the animal, W-O-L-F, the number 6, P-A-C-K, which is PAC, and then the number 1 at gmail.com. Send me a email there. Let me know what your interest is, and I will definitely put you on the invitation for the conference call. For each one is going to be by invitation only, and then the individuals that send that, they will be invited and have an opportunity. It needs to be done that way so that we can have it more structured for the individuals that are there to handle their questions and anything that they may have. So If you're interested in that, definitely send me an email at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Okay? So with that being said, let's jump into the start of the show. And before we get into the start of the show, as always, if you have any questions or comments, you can definitely give us a call at 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. Then just hit *61 and I will see you in the queue and bring you up so that you can have your question or comment be known. Okay? So we can hear you. All right. So with today, I want to start with back. Let's go to our Facebook page. Very, very important article. This is an extremely, extremely important article for so many ways. Okay, and we're going to start with, this was posted on the 15th, which was Saturday, and it's called the Grid X Exercise. Okay, this is a very, very, very important training that's going to be going on. This is the third, and I believe this is supposed to be the last of the trainings in GridX exercise number 3 of 2015. And what this is, what they're going to do is that there is the government along with the Department of Energy and other entities, Department of Homeland Security and a bunch of other entities within the United States and globally are testing if the grid goes down. If all of the electrical power goes down, by either different things. Each grid exercise was at different intervals for different things. And it was done annually. This is the third one. And it is a sector-wide grid security exercise. Grid X 2 in November of 2013. The first grid exercise took place in November 2011. These geographical disturbances exercises were designed to execute the electrical sector's crisis response to simulate a coordinated cyber attack and physical security threat and incidents to strengthen utility crisis response functions and to provide input for lessons learned. GridX 3 is scheduled for November the 18th, tomorrow, through the 19th, 2015. Now, why is this so, so important? Okay. This is important because a lot of these exercises and these trainings somehow mysteriously have the opportunity to, not always, but on a very disturbing, from a very disturbing point, going live, especially some of the major ones. A lot of the major events that you've seen throughout the world from September 11th to November the 13th of 2015, there was a training exercise that was going on simultaneously when everything went live. And I don't believe that that is a coincidence at all. Now, this is something that they've been telling you about for years and years. If you've been listening or if you've been doing any research about the grid going down and how much of a problem and what a catastrophe that would be, where 50 to 65% of the American population would actually die within the first 12 months. It would have a casualty rate of 50 to 60% of the American population within the first 12 months if the power grid went down. So now, this is something that they're training with this tomorrow. And it's so important that you know about these trainings and that you are properly prepared for that just in case it goes awry, because there is evidence in the past that it has gone live for so many different times. So don't let this catch you sleeping. Be aware of it. Have an idea of what it is that you need to do and be ready for it just in case it does happen. Very, very important thing. Now, also, with that, I'm going to skip to a no, it's GNA security. Not securities, but GNA security, like a security company for the person. You know who you are. Okay, so now, why is this Grid X exercise so, so important? It's because today it was announced, and I'm going to skip all the way up to the top of Tando Radio Show today, And it's currently the fifth story down. NORAD is to hold, let me pull this up, this comes from the NBC Washington location, NBC Washington. NORAD to hold training flights early Wednesday, that's tomorrow, the 18th. NORAD will conduct a training exercise in Washington, D.C. area early Wednesday morning between midnight and 2:30 a.m. A series of training flights will be held with Federal Aviation Administrator, the National Capital Regional Coordination Center, the Joint Air Defense Operations Center, and the Civil Air Patrol, U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Air Force, and CORAD Eastern Air Defense Sector. The exercise is trained for response to any possible air threat. If the weather does not cooperate, the exercise will be held between midnight and 2:30 a.m. Thursday. D.C. has the worst traffic in, well, no, that's the, but that is the brief headline and release from the media that there is. Now, let me tell you something. This is very, very important. Whenever they start to do these joint exercises at the same time, you should know about it and you should be relatively concerned that these things can go live. Remember what NORAD's participation in New York was. Remember that they were having a training exercise for just the same exact scenario that took place in New York. Now the Grid X exercise is happening tomorrow, and then NORAD is having an exercise tomorrow. Just a week and a half ago, the Navy had diverted all flights from Los Angeles for one whole week and had the ballistic missile test going off. There are things that are happening as we speak that you need to fully be aware of and be prepared for. This is why we put Tando Show Radio Show together, so that you could be prepared. There is nothing conspiracy theory about this. This is the real world, and the opportunity for these events to go against you and your family and our community is just a matter of time before they will do just that on a very broad in a very large scale. So make sure that you're continuing to prepare. So just wanted to tie those two together. Now, we want to go back to some other articles real quick before we get into today's show. And some of them correspond with the Grid X. Next, this one is, I posted this one Saturday, and it's from Express UK. Putin is sending 150,000 soldiers to Syria to wipe out ISIS. This is critical. This is huge. And let me just open this up real quick. This is really important because now you're having troops on the ground. And what happens when you have troops on the ground? Right now, with all of the NATO nations, and including with the NATO nations and the U.S., starting to engage within Syria, it's only a matter of time before this goes awry, where the BRIC nations or the Eurasian nations will come up in contact with the NATO nations in a standoff that will probably turn hot. But here it is. The Russian leader is reporting, and this comes from Express out of the UK. The end of ISIS. Putin sending 150,000 soldiers to Syria to wipe out evil Islamic State. Vladimir Putin is preparing to send 150,000 troops to Syria in a bid to wipe out the evil Islamic State once and for all, as he hints at a joining the West following the Paris attack. The Russian leader is reportedly mounting an enormous military mission to take control of the terrorist group stronghold. The city that the self-declared capital of ISIS in Syria and is patrolled by more than 5,000 jihadist members. Putin has also mobilized 150 reservists who can conscript into the military by September. And yesterday, following the Paris attack, Putin hinted that he was ready to join forces with the West to tackle the Islamic State. He told David Cameron at a recent The recent tragic events in France showed that we must join efforts in preventing terrorism. Now, let me tell you what's really going on. What's really going on is that there is assets that's being placed for the overall advent of a more global war between the standing parties, the BRIC nations versus the NATO nations. This is extremely huge. One of the things that they want to do is they want to get troops on the ground there, because the first there with the troops have a position of advantage to be able to strategically place themselves. Right now, the U.S., the NATO nations want to topple Assad. The BRIC nations want to keep him in power. And the NATO nations has actively been engaging the Syrian army by way of Israel airstrikes. This is only going to unfold in a way that's going to push about and bring about the overall global war that is already unfolding. So, very important article that you need to check out there. Next, we'll run through these real quick. Next, China is going to be a part of the IMF basket of currency. We talked about that yesterday. We will talk about that later on also. Then there was, I got to read this. It's real, real funny. Appreciate this. There was one Stephanie sent, she knows who she is. She's out in California. Talked about the show yesterday. She said, so glad you took control of that dialogue towards the end of the program. He told us nothing that we didn't already know. And the tacky thing was that he was trying to solicit your listeners. I don't need to hear anything else from him or Wade. Thank you very much. Quit inviting him and Wade too. I had to laugh on that. But let me tell you sis, what my intentions were on that. Is that it's so important sometimes if people want to say what it is that we may need to know, just give them the form for, you know, to let them speak, because I thought it was really, really important that we find out what was on their mind. And if they're sincere about their things, then guess what? Then this is something that we already believe, and they need to engage in a way that they need to engage, and we have our own decision making, and that is important to us and how we handle things. So just wanted to let you know, I hear you loud and clear, and I had a laugh on it. It was really good. But I wanted to really hear what he wanted to say and, you know, what was it really was on their mind, because that sometimes is what you need to know is good too. One of the things my mother told me growing up, be careful what you say, because everyone will know what you're thinking. Listen to everything that's being said around you, because you may need to know something that will benefit you in the future, either by way of protecting yourself or seizing on an opportunity. And that was so, so true. So no, there wasn't much that wasn't that we didn't already know and, you know, what we've been preparing for. But one of the things that was good was that we found out some other things about some other organizations, which we already knew, but there was confirmation of what their plans were. Never disclosed any of our plans, because we are decentralized, and that makes us the most powerful force within this nation. By being decentralized and not centralizing ourselves within the mainstream gives us a great position of advantage. And I just wanted to make sure that we knew and we can hear from what was going on outside of our doors, what some people are saying and what some people are thinking about some of the events that are going to come forth. So thought it was really, really important. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let me just finish it through these articles, and then Scotty and I will talk about it real quick, because I know Scotty's been talking all day. Won't hold you long, Scotty. Also, Governor Abbott to refuse Syrian refugees to relocate to Texas. Posted that one yesterday, real important. There's a big pushback throughout the world, throughout the country and throughout the world right now on this refugee redeployment and this refugee placement. It's nothing more than a Trojan horse. From the very start, when this thing first jumped off, we talked about that on Tando and said that this was nothing more than a Trojan horse, and you're going to see terrorist acts that come out of this. Are they going to say that they came out of this? Because it gives them perfect plausible deniability to what their agenda is, and this is what you're going to continue to see and unfold right in front of our eyes. Okay, another very important article. And this one comes from WCVB.com. And it is out of the Boston area. FBI, weapons missing after Wachester's armory break-in. Let me get this put up. More than a dozen weapons, including M4 assault rifles and 10 handguns, were stolen from a secure vault in a break-in at the United States Army Reserve Armory Saturday night, the military confirmed. Both the FBI and the local police are investigating the break-in at Lincoln, Subdar Armory Reserve at Lake Avenue. The break-in and the theft occurred between the hours of 6 p.m. and Saturday and 1 a.m. Sunday, according to Washington City Edward M. Augustine Jr., who said the police are looking for one man. Five investigators reported the suspect went through the roof and once inside, cut a hole in the roof. One second. Cut a hole in the roof. So here we have an armory that was broken into and weapons were stolen. So this is, you know, very, very important, because I'm going to tell you what the important thing about this is, that from this, what you will start to see is that they will start to blame and say that there needs to be much more control over access all over the place, because military installations are now being compromised. There's no way in the world that these military installations should be compromised if the people that own them don't want them to be compromised. Very, very easy to do, because they want it to give that appearance. So there's a lot of things that are unfolding. Remember, during in Yemen, the U.S. said that a bunch of their weapons were stolen, and then they end up being used by organizations to have attacks within Yemen and other places in the Middle East. Same thing, modus of operandi. Same thing is happening here. And I believe that you should see the possibility of things unfolding here. So very important article. Check that one out. Moving right along.
Before you move on, Dave, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw that story the other day, and yeah, I didn't make the connection right away that you just made to those weapons that went missing in Yemen and then this armory being broken into here. Very good connection. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, remember, yeah, Scotty, because we talked about that this summer. And yeah, that's, you know, this is the MO. This is their MO, and this is what they do. But we need to know so that we can make the appropriate response to what's going on and see where we are. Another great article. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. And it has to do with Houston having problems with paying its pension. And this is also, you can tie this in also with another article that we posted inside of Tando today, that the trucking industry, many in the trucking industry, pensions will be lost also. Retired truckers face sharp pension cuts. Lincoln NE Journal Star, that came from the Journal Star. So the pensions through every public and private pension is under attack right now. Why? Because there's an economic collapse that is unfolding that's going to be hidden by a war that's going to go on. And this is the reason, because the pensions have already been stolen. They just need the right opportunity or have plausible deniability to say that, hey, you lost everything because of a cyber attack, because of the war that we had. Our markets were hit through cyber attacks, and they're saying this, and they're spewing this rhetoric throughout the financial industries right now, talking about the cyber attacks. One of the ways that they're talking about it is they're talking about now that Anonymous is going to be disclosing ISIS members. Who is Anonymous? You have no clue who they are. They're anonymous. They could be anyone that engages. Doesn't mean that they, you know, it's the same people that you may be thinking that is doing some benevolent things, but it could be the anonymous that's doing some malevolent thing. How would you know? But this is what I would say. They're using the system and positioning themselves within the system to facilitate the agenda that they have. And that's the key. That's the whole key here, is that we always have to look at not the dressing, but we need to look at who benefits and what's the motivation behind it. So what is that going to tell you? Now they're going to start to have excuses why the economy collapsed and the banking sector was hit by cyber attacks from different organizations and you lost everything that was in your bank account. All of your digital currency will be lost. What is your digital currency? The digital currency is nothing more than the currency that you have within a banking institution or a brokerage house that you don't have in cash in your hand. That's digital. That's subject to cyber attack. And believe me, that's going to make itself known. They're going to rear that ugly devil face very, very soon. So need to know that. Important. Almost done here. Let me scroll down. Then another very, very important, very, very important article is that from RT. Vladimir Putin said 40 countries, including G20 countries, finance ISIS. He's basically saying the West did it, just to let you know. And this is this is going to play out as those 150,000 troops make their way into Syria. I bet they're already there. Another major, major telling story is that this one comes from Bloomberg. Oil theft soars as downturn cast U.S. roughnecks out of work. Roughnecks are the people that work in the oil fields. This comes from Bloomberg. This is very, very telling. Just going to read this real quick because we got to hurry up and get into the show. Okay, this comes out of on September the 9th when a man emerged from an oil tanker, slid up to a well outside of Cockroach, Texas, and siphoned out more than 200 barrels. Then he drove 2 hours to a town where he sold his load on the black market for $10 a barrel, about a quarter of what the West Texas Instrument currently fetches. This is like a drug organization, says Michael P., Global Security Management of San Antonio-based Lewis Energy Group, who recounted the heist at a Texas legislator hearing. You've got your mule that is going to steal oil in trucks. You've got the next level of organization that actually is taking the oil in and giving a gathering site. It's always a criminal organization that is involved within. It's messed up. They messed that article up. It happens. But basically what's happening here is that some people that are familiar with the oil industry that are probably out of work now, they have critical information, structural information. They are able to breach the security that's there, siphon the oil out of the different places, and they're taking it into the black market and selling it at a much lower rate. Now, why is this so important? Because this is what's going to operate throughout this country when this economic collapse happens. The black market is going to soar. It's going to soar. Because of so many people that are going to be out of work, the black market will be the preferred place of employment once this happens. And this is just an indication of how that is going to go. And this is going to be vast and it's going to be huge. So good article to check out. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into today's show. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And when we come back, we get into the show. Very, very important show. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. I want to thank you all for listening. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time today, definitely give us a call at 641-715-360. And the participant code is 5490-32#, and just hit *61. Will let me know that you're there, and I will definitely pick up. So if you want to get in on the conversation at any time about anything, plus definitely give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. A monologue is much more important than a dialogue. Okay, now let me just hit a couple more stories, trying to run through them real quick because they're really, really important. And I'm just going to run through them real quick. France is at war. The president of France proposes new laws to fight terrorism. They basically want to change the Constitution. Who does that benefit? Same thing. The bad thing about this is that we haven't learned from our past. That's why they're able to repeat the same forms of events for the same conclusion. Basically, they're going to have their own Patriot Act, a new Patriot Act, and NDAA, and it's going to be much more heightened. So good article that you want to check out there. What that really means is that who benefits from all of this? Means, motive, and opportunity. Who has the means, the motive, and opportunity, and who benefited from whatever event it was, has let you know who is involved. Also, France is going to mobilize 115,000 security personnel. That's where the advent of the security base is going to explode. Another very important story, and this was a YouTube video, says, on the brink, U.S. sends advanced radar systems to the Ukraine. This is huge. Assets are being placed, strategically placed, right now as we speak, for the kickoff of World War III. So check out that YouTube and see the importance that's there. Another one. Here's another really important story. The UN warns Europe against backtracking on migrant commitment. Not only Europe, but the U.S. also. Basically, the UN is telling them you can't backtrack on the commitments that you've made in spite of what's been happening. Man, this setup is so thick, and it's only going to get worse as more and more events start to unfold. So check out that article. This was by Yahoo, but read between the lines there. Also, this Social Security is basically already gone. They're releasing information that Social Security is gone. Check out that article that's there also. But I want to hurry up, get into today's show. And another important article. Come on, computer. Stop having a mind of your own. All right. Another important article is that within the BRIC nations, the Chinese president had said to the BRIC nations that we have to strengthen our coalition even more now, because gold is able to withstand the fire. That was a symbol. He was telling them and the rest of the world what is about to happen, that the fire is going to come and that the BRIC nations will be able to withstand it because they have the assets and the resources that the world would need in the new economic direction. That being gold being one and the other precious metals and other commodities. It's really an indication and a tell for us, the regular people of the world, letting us know what is about to happen. The fire is about to happen. The key is, will you be able to withstand it? Because pure gold is able to withstand the fire. So great, great article that's there. Check out that one. That was from the BRIC nation. Also, huge story. Also posted from the BRIC, where Putin said that they were going to, because they released today that the plane that was blown up in Egypt 2 weekends ago, 2 Saturdays ago, had a bomb on board, and they said that they will be patient and find out every person that was involved, their names, where they are, and they will deal with them accordingly. So they will be patient in all this. They're telling them, they're sending a message. And guess who probably is going to end up being involved in that, all of that? The same people who would have benefited from it. So, your friendly uncle from here in the U.S. Now, so, my computer is, of course, is acting up. But hey, let's just get into the show. Because I can't scroll on my computer. It's crazy. So, just wanted to bring some of those articles to you. Very, very important. But let's jump into today's show. Today's show, we're going to be talking about the historical use of false flags, the hidden hand, and why they're so important. But before we do that, one thing I do want to talk about with Scotty, Scotty's on, is that yesterday's show with Wade and Drake coming on. And one of the things that, you know, Scotty's going to, you know, jump in and say what he thinks is that one of the things that's so, so important is this, is that right now with everything that's going on, that was, for me, nothing more than letting me know confirmation-wise that there are plans that are being made, because I don't know who Drake is at all. I really don't care to know. Because the most important thing that I have to do is I have a responsibility and an obligation to you, the Tando Radio listeners. From that standpoint, I would much rather stay decentralized, and all of you know that, stay decentralized, but prepare for what's coming, and that way we can decide what our overall response would be. It's very, very, very important that you get as much information that you possibly can get. But that does not mean at all that you have to respond to something at the present time. Wade came on and, Drake came on and said that there was going to be some event that's going to unfold. And actually, I agree with some of the things that he said was going to happen. But what his involvement is, how legitimate and how authentic he is or his organization is, I don't know. And I really don't need to find out, because what I need to do within my group, my family, and my community is to prepare for what we already know is coming. But I will say this with some good information, because I can see that the events that's going to take place here is going to have to be events that are going to be much bigger and have more of a emotional response, and most of that emotional response is going to be for people to be afraid and require the very same people that created the problem to solve the problem. And I could see where that events could jump off where young people are going to be attacked and in multiple places. This is definitely something that would garnish the response that the overall agenda or in which they need.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
For
go
clarification,
ahead,
when you say, excuse me, when you say young people being attacked, what do you mean specifically? Because I see young people being attacked every day by police and hunted down by slave catchers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Without a doubt. What I'm saying is in a series of events like we've seen before where is going to be on a very broad scope.
So, for example, do you think like perhaps like demonstrations where there are mass demonstrations and like we saw in Ferguson?
But you remember Scotty when they had the thing in South Carolina, we had the show and we talked about that. And one of the things I said is that I don't think it's wise for us to bring our young children,
right, out to that. You said, that wasn't a place because of things that could pop off. That wasn't a place to be bringing small children, people that couldn't be able to defend themselves or even run away,
Right. And what I could see is that is something that they could put on their, on their agenda as to what an event that's the event that I was speaking of. Yes, we are constantly under attack because it has to be that way in order for them to continue the overall agenda that they have and always have had, to maintain us so that we will not realize who we are to end all of this, because they can't defeat the people once the people realize that they are already free and start to act that way.
You know, so, you're touching upon something I've been touching upon lately about the need for people to know their own personal family history and stop assuming that you are the descendants of enslaved Africans.
Right.
Not that you had any control over your ancestors or whatnot. And we know that a crime against humanity was created against them. But I feel like, you know, I'm hearing people use terms like, and I've used it in the past because I didn't really have the knowledge that I have now. But, you know, the post-traumatic slave disorder, well, the only problem mm-hmm. I had with that was that when you say post-slavery, that's like insinuating
it
that slavery's
over.
Been abolished, and it hasn't.
Right, it ain't over.
So it's grammatically incorrect, and
right.
we're you know, suffering traumas every day collectively. But at the same time, I'm also thinking that, you know, we're teaching children coming up through school and stuff of all the great deeds of white men and all your people, they were nothing but enslaved Africans who've been victimized all their lives. And that's not all our history. That's part of members of our family history, but it is not our entire history as you know, I learned about my own personal area of all the free Africans that participated in the American Revolution as free black men and just the freedom struggles that we have had throughout history where we have overcame great odds. And I just feel like many of us, we are suffering from a propaganda that has embedded this defeatist psychology into us to think, you know, the victimhood. Not to say we're not being victimized, but I'm not a victim. I'm not going to accept that into my psyche. I'm gonna be a victor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm talking about spiritual, metaphysical things now. But I just feel like, you know, a lot of our people are being brainwashed, man, and not knowing that spirit of revolutionary resistance that exists among us.
Yeah, and you know what, Scott, and I totally agree. And one of the things that I think is so, so important is this, is that so many of us in the mainstream believe that we have to be free by civil rights, by that whole progression of things. And the hamstring with that is this, is that they created the civil rights so that you would be actually, so that people would be begging the very people that have enslaved you for freedom. And that's not how freedom comes about. And it's so, so important that we realize that they continue to propagandize an agenda that tells us that the only way that we can be free is to go through them. And that will do what? That will keep you enslaved to them. And it'll keep you subject and subservient to them. And it's so important that we realize who we are. We were born free and independent. And now we have to fight for our freedom and independence. That it was given to us, now it's on us to maintain it. And it's not on us to maintain it by petitioning someone else for it, because the moment that you ask Pharaoh to let you go, you've conceded that you're Pharaoh's slave. And that is so important that we take a different approach to where we start to say, Pharaoh, screw you. You don't matter. Not only that, we're letting you go. So it's so important that we change our overall psyche of things. And some of the events that I could see happening to really galvanize and to temper and to get the effective response that they want, I can see where they will actually have a major event against people of color, specifically our young children. They did it in schools, in Sunday schools. They did it, you know, back in the day. The thing with these people is that they use the same method of operation. They just wait until years later because they know that the people aren't paying attention to it because they listen to their propaganda all the time. So their response, you know, they just react. They just will react to things. I could see where they will attack our children. from different events, from sporting events, from school organization rallies. And not only that, what they'll do is they'll fund the rally, they'll put out the program, they'll create the overall propaganda for it and the mystique for it and the drive for it, so people will come out in vast numbers, and then they will attack them.
One of the things he said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Real quick, it's so important that we realize that our greatest strength is not to petition those that have enslaved you. First, our greatest strength is for us to walk away from this system by our means. And if that walking away requires that we don't participate in different levels or to defend ourselves by different means, then so be it. So be it. And it's so important that we realize that right now, the overall advent of maintaining and subjecting the people even further, because they've had the people on their knees and it's not enough. They want the people on their belly. So we must protect ourselves, our families, and our community. And don't join any form of group. Be anonymous with your overall efforts, because that is the best. That's the best cover that you can have. If you start to join groups, one of the first things that they're going to want you to do, and I'm going to tell you what some of these groups are. It's going to be through the churches. It's going to be through other organizations that appear to be in your best interest. But what they're going to do is gather your information, see who the leaders are, see who the rebel rousers are, see who the individuals and their overall level of commitment to it all, and then that's how you've been infiltrated. Let me tell you something. The infiltration of these different, the civil rights movement and all of that started, was real easy because they gave the program which to be followed.
Mm-hmm. You know,
until we walk away from their program, until we stop playing by their rules, then they will rule. And it's so important. But Scotty, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I see you got a caller in queue. Let me just address, before you go to the caller, let me just address some things, and then I'll let you get on with your program that was brought up. Somebody on Facebook who listened to the program asked me, you know, do I trust this guy? It seems like he could be a friend, or he's talking about some good things and whatnot. But I don't trust anyone. I don't care what your racial classification, religious classification. I don't care what you're calling yourself. I don't trust people, period, as a general rule. Trust has to be earned. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I will gather information about you from afar. And I will listen to you, and I can, you know, I can pretty much tell where your thought processes are. I can tell where your heart is, so to speak, and whether you are enemy or foe. But I'm still going to keep you at arm's length because I don't know you. I don't have a personal relationship with you established over years, time, where you know, I know for without a doubt that you ain't trying to set me up. And so that's one of the things I was thinking about as he was speaking. He may be who he says he is, but then at the same time, he may not be. That's why I mentioned COINTELPRO on there, on the program, because I have studied the Black Liberation Movement of the late 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's particularly involving the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army. I have talked to former members. I have a relationship with some of these people, and I study their cases as I advocate for their release on Political Prisoner Radio on Sunday nights. And so I know that, you know, him asking for phone numbers and stuff like that. Now, let's just be real. Technically, what he was speaking about yesterday could be considered as treason. It could be considered as, you know, some kind of plot to overthrow the United States government. In fact, it was what he was speaking of. And so, again, he could be who he says he is. He could have, you know, genuine intent to see freedom across this land. But at the same time, like he was saying, you know, people know who you are. I'm a public person. I use my real name, okay? I don't hide behind a pseudonym. I've been a rabble rouser in terms of spewing truth as I have discovered it and sharing it with the people over these airwaves on the internet since 2007. This radio station is heard in over 100 different countries, okay? And so I know they're listening. I'm not a fool. I hope they're listening. And I tell them I hope you're listening because this is our demands. Okay. And so I would be foolish to then give my phone number to a person who openly stated that they were involved in a plot to overthrow the U.S. government. Now, I do say the U.S. government, the corporation known as USA Inc., does need to be dissolved, and we need to do something, you know, better. But I don't go into any specifics. I don't talk about we need to take this person out, take that person out. I don't talk in those specific terms because I'm no fool. All right. I'm not going to give the hangman the rope. Okay. And so, you know, for all we know, he is a agent of the very system that would like to see us shut down and not sharing the information that we share on this network. Cause right now, if I get taken out, Black Talk Radio is done. There's nobody else that really has the technical knowledge that I have to run it. And so it's gone, and they would love to see it gone. So that way, I don't trust people. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Not that I'm not saying it could be what he said could totally be true. He could be who he says he is. But at the same time, you know, I'm not giving you my phone number. I'm not putting you in touch with so and so. And then the next thing you know, y'all waking up and on USA Today headlines, you know, North Carolina man arrested in conspiracy plot, you know, and I've been set up by FBI informant. I've seen it too many times. And I'll just leave it at that.
Too many times. Right, Scotty. And my whole thing is that if you're about the freedom movement, well, this is the key. This is the key here. Your freedom movement, if it's sincere and in line with ours, we don't need to commingle them. You need to do what you need to do because you vetted everything that you have over there. We're not interested in joining any other groups. We're only interested in protecting our overall and preparing ourselves for what's coming down the line from other organizations that are in control, but we will have the appropriate response to protect ourselves in the dutiful fashion. That means of making sure that we have the food, having the medical capabilities to take care of our sick, and also being able to defend ourselves in any unstable environment. Because once this economic crisis happens, people are going to start to do a lot of things, but that's not what we're all about. And we don't want to, we don't have anybody to give you to. For me, I don't have anybody to give you to, so I'm the wrong person. But not only that, I'm not interested in establishing alliances with people that I don't know at this critical time.
And then some of his alliances, again, the Oath Keepers are racist. They showed themselves to be racist, and he said that some people, you know, they're raised that way, which there's an element of truth to that. But at the same time, you know, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what I'm saying? I'm old enough, sure. I'm in the age of reason, that I can reason these things out myself. And so any grown person whose brain has fully developed past the age of 26 years old and they still practicing racism and white supremacy, well, that's just who they are. They ain't got nothing to do with their background. Okay.
No, that's them.
Yeah, that's them. That's them. And one of the dudes that was in, and I brought this up, one of the dudes that was in the Oath Keepers doing them open carry demonstrations out there in Missouri did try to reach out to the Black community. We talked about it on this program. But then the people at the headquarters who are the shot callers in Oath Keepers told him, no, we're not going to do it. And he exposed them and said they're racist and he quit. So, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you talking about first responders and all this and that. You know what I'm saying? Look, check this out. We ain't got to wait for them to start arresting people and all this and that. All they have to do is quit covering up for the crimes that's going on in the departments that they're in. And we're not seeing them do that. So that tells me that they are not really concerned about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or our rights, because they're going along with the program. They're locking us up. They're stealing from us. And it's happening to everybody, but it's happening to us more than anyone. So, you know, for as I see it, they are the damn enemy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so important for us, and our great strength is how people don't know. You know, they like you said, Scotty, they know about you. They know about me. But I don't care about that, you know, because they can't kill me because they didn't give me life. The most important thing that we can do and the obligation that we have is to get our people prepared and let them. We don't even know the different people organizations because we don't require that. And that is so that is our real, real strength. So for anyone that has any groups that are going to be doing certain things for the freedom of people, well, guess what? If you're sincere, you'll always have our support. But we don't need to come together in order to do this. It can all be done at a strategical time and place when it's necessary. And so that is so, so important. Hey, we got a caller. Let's go to this caller. I didn't want to keep this person waiting. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Good evening. It's Thomas Smith from New York. Can I be heard?
Of course you can. What's up, brother?
How you doing, man? I called in a couple of days ago. I want to say good evening to you. Good evening to Scott.
Yes, sir.
I had some, you know, once again, man, I'm looking at this thing from a totally different angle. It's just not logical for me with this whole BRICS situation in Russia, because they don't benefit from it more than they benefit from white supremacy. And I see this as them consolidating with the rest of the white powers to take over completely the Middle East and then go into Asia. I don't really see them breaking stride after all these years. You know, given the world that second option of capitalism to wife to rule the world. I mean, they're working in tandem together, the United States and Russia, through the Cold World, through the Cold War and everything there. Without the two options, just like Republicans and Democrats, they can't rule. And I just don't see it. I think that what we're going to see in the next couple of weeks is Russia, France, Germany, United States all standing on the platform together, talking about what they're going to do against terrorism. And here starts the New World Order, or that one world government that all those books about the New World Order have talked about all these years. I don't see anything else other than that happening. I don't see the United States and Russia going to war with the white population on a decline the way it is. Maybe in the 1940s when they were on that rise, but now I think it's all about consolidating what white power they have and keeping it, because they know that it's not going to be too many more of them left in their future. And that's what I had to say. I just want to know if Scotty agree with that and you. I mean, I hear what you say, but it's just not logical in the system of white supremacy that that's what's going down.
You said you hear when you say you hear what you
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I mean everything you say, I see the same pattern.
Are you talking about me or Scotty?
You. Mm-hmm. I see all the patterns of this BRIC versus NATO. I see all of that, but it's just not logical. I mean, it's all they deal with white supremacy first. That everything else, the money, all that other stuff, they can make that shit later. You know what I'm saying? It's about keeping that white power. And that I don't see them fighting each other or even coming there. In fact, I would say if China was to have a war with the United States, Russia would help the United States to keep white power, to keep that going. Because without that, they're not nothing either.
Thomas, this is Scotty. How you doing today?
I'm good, brother. Thank you.
Okay, I see your logic and where you're looking at, but I'm of the opinion that these white people ain't all together like we think they are. I think that they are fractured into tribalism just like we are, you know, in the black community, you know, and I'm talking about the global black community. We ain't all on the same page. We ain't all on the same team, and we engage in tribalism, and I see that in terms of the global population that's classified as white under that system as also engaging in tribalism. You know, Hitler, some of his first victims were communists. And so, you know, this capitalist versus communism rivalry that we've been seeing going on, man, that thing is real. It's real. And then, you know, in terms of them going to war, You don't see them considering that, you know, right now their birth rates are declining and their death rates are increasing. You said you don't see them going to war to kill off a whole bunch of white people and stuff like that. But I think at the very top, you know, that the people that are orchestrating all of this stuff is that they don't care about them because they know they don't look at them as being white. See, this is going back before the Irish and the Scots became classified as white. But the real white supremacists, as they're called, they still don't see them as white. They still see them as the poor trash of the niggas of Europe, if you will. You know, and right now they're just using those populations to implement their agenda of oppressing us. They just hate us more than they hate the Irish and they hate the Scots, but I don't think they have a problem with all of these people classified as honorary whites right now. They got a problem with them being killed because they trying to, you know, decline the population numbers to begin with because of resources and whatnot. I could be wrong. I do see the logic in your line of thinking, but I'm also, you know, going along some other lines. And so, you know, it's not all about, you know, you being right or me being wrong or me being right or you being wrong. It's about us trying to put pieces to this puzzle together and trying to figure this thing out.
Absolutely, bro. It ain't about being right or wrong, man. Either way, they got it either way. But
right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
but
I get your logic just as much as you got mine. And like I say, I've been listening to the show, man. I've been following the news, and I see the same pattern. And you know, it's just that brain computer saying, man, I just don't put nothing past it. It's just too easy to access the information that we're getting to see the pattern. For them not to be playing that trick role in the background, you know, I just don't trust them. But once again, you know, they're very unpredictable. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Hey, hold on. Whoa. Hey, Thomas.
No problem, bro.
Thomas, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, you know, thanks for calling and great question and great point. And you said you had directed a question towards me. And one of the things that I've been talking about since I've been on air here, and I've always said this, is that these governments are in a fraternity. They never fight each other. They're not fighting each other. They are in a fraternity. Every war, 96% of the casualties of war are the general population. They go to war against the people of the world. And I agree very wholeheartedly to what Scotty was saying. I agree with you. Totally. 100%. But what's really important is that we understand the historical controls that they've had for so long, and we have to walk away from that type of thinking. I'm not saying that you haven't, but the thinking that we need to walk away from is the diversionary thinking that there is such thing as the United States of America, American citizens, and everything else. Because the people that really have controlling power, like Scotty said, they don't give a darn about anybody. Everyone is a slave to them. They just use that. What they do is they transfer the hate because they know that hate has an expiration date, and they have to have a cyclical movement so that the people will fight and do their bidding for them because they're so weak. And just like Scotty said, they don't even get along among themselves. But what they will do is that they will come together and collaborate in efforts to maintain their power base until they can fight each other for more. So I totally agree with you. And China and Russia and all of these can go into different directions. But the most important thing that we talk about here on Tando Radio Show is for us to be individuals, for us to be the way that God, the great creator, intended us to be, free and independent. And that's absent. And that's absent of any governmental decree or control, because they wage war because it's a depopulation program. It's a depopulation program to get people on their knees and to control them even more and to get rid of the overall growth of the population, because it's something that happens when there's more people. People start to ask questions and they start to share information. They start to put things together. It's easy to control 10. And I'm going to tell you, there was one dude that he said there's a global awakening that's happening. He said it used to be easier to control a million people. Now it's infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control them. And that's what it's really all about. And this is what I talk about here, is a matter of controlling you individually first, and then having that cross-pollinate to everyone in your family and everyone else everywhere else. So, no, I'm right with you. I put those things together, but I also talk in a separate view so that people can follow along and see how these patterns are the same as in the past, same results. Hey, we got to go to a commercial break. Hey, Thomas, thanks for the call, man. Keep listening and keep calling, man. Your opinion and your insight is so, so important that our people need to hear. All right, everyone, we're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio, show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
To the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today we're talking about, want to talk about the hidden hand, want to move into the second part of today's show. If you have any questions or comments, definitely give us a call. We'd love to hear from you because your voice is so, so important, because your opinion has to be expressed, because our people need to hear it, because any dialogue that we have, we need to formalize that to set our own individual agenda as a people, as a community, and as a nation at large. And we are a very myopic people, but the most important thing is that we have to set the agenda and establish that agenda instead of having people talking about us. They need to negotiate with us based off the power that we have. We have the power of the originals, and we are the originals. And right now, because we are in the situations that we are, the wild children have run amok, and they need to actually be call back into charge by the parents of this planet. So give us a call if you have a question or comment that you would like to make. We'd love to hear from you. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, and just hit *61. Okay, listen, what I want to do is, this is, there is a real great documentary that's out, so, so important. And this documentary was about 9/11 and the falsehoods within 9/11. And it was finally a very strategic of the incidents of 9/11. And this documentary just came out, a strategical investigation of the events of that day and what they meant. Very, very important right now, because what you're starting to see is the same modus operandi all over the world, but they're doing it at different places, at different times, and changing it up just a little. But the same method is being used to get to an objective. So what I want to do, and it's so important that we understand the capabilities, who has the means, the motive, and opportunity to do these events. And I would just say this before we go to the video. Listen, as things start to unfold here, and as things start to unfold other places, you need to be able to protect yourself at all times. You need not to trust anyone, the authorities or anything. Let me just say this. Let's say in Paris, the people that were in different predicaments, from the theater to the restaurant, do not wait for authorities to come to think that they will come in to save you. They may actually come in because there are a lot of mercenaries that have been hired that are actually within the first responders. They've actually been contracted to hire to go and oversee with the different defense corporations, that the, when the Department of Defense had hired different corporations, like Blackwater, like DynaCorp, like so many others, to employ people to go out into the field as a mercenary and then now come back, and then guess what? They're in position of authority. And these groups, these very same groups, could be the first responder that has an agenda that's been given to them by the underlying factors. And you think that the first responders that are coming in are coming to help you? Then guess what? There are no witnesses left over. So it's so, so important that you understand what time we're, where we are in life, and the importance of you being prepared. Never scared, always prepared. If something happens wherever you are, you need to get out of the way completely from all, from whoever is conducting it and the first responders that will be coming also. So, so, so important. But hey, let's jump into this video, then we'll come back. We're just going to listen to the first 20 minutes. Very, very important. And we're going to put, it's a very long video. It's going to be about 2 hours, but we're going to break it up in segments so that we can realize that this has happened before. Let me say this before we go to the video. Winston Churchill said that history will be kind to history will be kind to these people if we allow them to write the history, because we have forgotten it and we allow them to do these things and not put the pieces to the puzzle together and say no more. So listen, to check out this video. Very important. It's called The Decade of Deception. Very, very good, and it's appropriate for the times in which we're living in now.
Group of skeptics are meeting in Toronto next month to question the events of 9/11. The meeting comes as thousands are set to gather to remember the lives lost on this, the 10-year anniversary of those attacks. The conspiracy theory meetings are set to take place at Ryerson University.
Why are you having this on September 11th, the 10th anniversary?
Well, I think the 10th anniversary is the appropriate occasion to sum up all the research that's been done over 10 years, which suggests that the story we've been given about 9/11 is not true. We are actually researchers, in my case, university professor for 30 years, doing my best research on this, and we're trying to determine what happened, why it happened, and who did it, those kinds of questions, and we're saying the official story is wrong. I think if you open your mind to the possibility that we're right, it's not insensitive, it's actually crucial. Why would Canadians want to build their foreign policy and their domestic policy on a lie?
Anniversaries are important, and we knew that the 10th anniversary of 9/11 would be important one way or another, whether we did anything or not. And I had some fears about how it would be used. It would be used to promote myth and lie and deception. It might be used to reinvigorate the flagging war on terror. There's always Syria, there's always Iran, and so on, left to go. But there's another way that it also could be used that I worried about, and that is to put the whole thing to bed, so to speak, to say, this is now part of history. This is not the present anymore, this is the past. And because it's the past, it'll be in the history books, and the kids will read it. That is the official narrative, the lie about 9/11. And I thought, in order to try and prevent that, we've got to have an event on the 10th anniversary which will say, this isn't over, this is just beginning. This is just beginning.
The events of 9/11 have served as a cause or pretext for two major wars, producing incalculable suffering in Iraq and Afghanistan, and increasing instability throughout the Middle East.
24 Canadians were among the direct victims of the 9/11 attacks. 6 times that number of Canadian soldiers have died in Afghanistan in the longest running of the 9/11 wars. And the kettling and mass arrests of more than 1,000 peaceful demonstrators at last year's G20 protests in Toronto, while the police made no attempt to interfere with the actions of a disorderly minority, was one sign of the extent to which civil liberties have declined in post-9/11 Canada. The importance of 9/11 as a historic turning point, then, is not in doubt. But much of what happened on that day, in the period leading up to it, and in its immediate aftermath, remains in doubt, in terms most particularly of the agencies and causalities involved in that sequence of events. Our four-day hearings, then, will thus have a quasi-judicial structure. The presentations of the expert witnesses will be evidence-based, rather than speculative. The methodologies involved, whether those of the physical or the social sciences, will be rigorous, and the information that the witnesses present will receive a further critical sifting at the hands of the panelists, both in the questions they put to witnesses and also, subsequently, in their final report.
The hearings are not a new investigation in themselves. The hearings will provide a succinct summary of the strongest evidence that a new investigation is immediately warranted and that the international community cannot abdicate this responsibility any longer. Instead of convening a traditional jury panel, we decided to gather together an international panel of prominent individuals who have agreed to do what governments and major media outlets around the world have so far refused to do: look at the evidence objectively and decide whether it deserves wider attention. In selecting panelists, we look for two qualifications in an individual: someone who is, one, highly credible, and two, open to objectively assessing the evidence.
Ferdinando Imposimato is the honorary president of the Supreme Court of Italy. As a former senior investigative judge, he presided over major terrorism-related cases, including political assassination. A former senator who served on the Anti-Mafia Commission in three administrations, a former legal consultant to the United Nations on drug trafficking, and the author or co-author of 7 books on international terrorism, state corruption, and related matters. He is also a Grand Officer of the Order of Merit of the Republic of Italy. Herbert Jenkins, a professor emeritus of psychology at McMaster University, worked in major research laboratories before coming to McMaster in 1963, an influential figure both in the psychology of learning and judgment, and also in the development of new forms of interdisciplinary curricula that have been widely imitated in other Canadian universities. He was awarded an honorary doctorate by McMaster University in 2009 in recognition of his impact in both fields. David Johnson is a professor emeritus of urban and regional planning at the University of Tennessee. A fellow of the American Institute of Certified Planners, he served on the staffs of the Boston Redevelopment Authority, the Washington National Capital Planning Commission, and the Regional Plan Association of New York. A former chair of the planning departments at Syracuse University and at Ball State University, he is also a past president of the Fulbright Association of the United States. Richard B. Lee, our fourth panelist, is a distinguished professor emeritus of anthropology at the University of Toronto, a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, a foreign honorary member of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, and a foreign associate of the National Academy of Sciences. He has served as president of the Canadian Anthropology Society and the Canadian Ethnology Society and holds honorary doctorates from the University of Fairbanks, Alaska, and the University of Guelph.
Over the course of 4 days, the panel will listen to evidence that has been collected over the last 10 years that contradicts the official government version of events. Each witness will present an opening statement and then answer questions posed by the panel. The panel has been given considerable latitude in the subject and nature of the questions they may ask, and we expect the witnesses to answer every question to the best of their knowledge. After the hearings have adjourned on the fourth day, the panel will reconvene over the following weeks and months and make a decision on which aspects, if any, of the evidence presented deserves further investigation by governments with subpoena and political power. The panel will then publish a final report, which I will help draft and edit, setting forth a recitation of the evidence presented and the panel's conclusions regarding the strength of the evidence and recommendations on how to proceed.
Thank you for continuing on the path to seeking the truth on this 10th anniversary of 9/11 and for inviting me to speak to you. My name is Laurie Van Auken. On September 11, 2001, my husband Kenneth went to work at Cantor Fitzgerald in the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Ken was on the 105th floor of Tower 1 when American Airlines Flight 11 hit his building. Soon we would learn that there would be only a congressional investigation and only into the intelligence failures that led to 9/11. But by then we knew that every governmental agency had failed us on September 11th. NORAD, the FAA, the DOJ, in addition to the FBI, CIA, and NSA. We wanted an investigation into all of the actions and failures that had led to the deaths of our loved ones and so many others on that horrible September day. The four of us, Mindy Kleinberg, Patty Casazza, Kristen Breitweiser, and I, became the September 11th advocates. Soon, other victims' family members from other states began referring to us as the Jersey Girls. We wanted 2 years for the investigation, but got only 18 months. Initially, only $3 million was allotted, compared with $50 million allotted to investigating the Challenger explosion. We wanted subpoena power for each commissioner, but with pressure from the Bush-Cheney White House, there was an agreement made that would allow subpoena power only if the chair and vice chair, or at least six commissioners, voted for it. The first commission hearing was in March of 2003. Unbeknownst to us, our real work was just beginning. As watchdogs of the commission, the next 2 years of our lives were exhausting and exasperating as we battled the White House, Congress, the commission's executive director, Philip Zelikow, and at various times both with and against the 9/11 commissioners themselves on the various issues that arose. We fought along with the commissioners to get more money for the commission, to get an extension of time, to get access to important White House documents, and to get Condoleezza Rice to testify. We battled against the commissioners, trying to get them to subpoena recalcitrant witnesses and agencies, and were outraged when we learned they were using minders in interviews. We tried in vain to get them to fire their conflict-laden executive director, Philip Zelikow, and fought against allowing Bush and Cheney to testify together, in a void, with no transcript and no press. The 9/11 families, or at least some of us, were hoping for a real investigation with scholars and experts in the appropriate fields and evidence to back up the work. We had wanted true independence from politics. We had fought so hard to get this commission and did not want someone who clearly had huge conflicts of interest to be running the investigation. But unfortunately, that's what we got. 10 years after the 9/11 attacks, the old questions still linger and new ones have arisen. A real investigation into 9/11 has never been done. This is incredible considering the direction that we have taken as a country. The passing of the Patriot Act, entering two wars, and our entire foreign policy has all been based on the official account of 9/11. The proper place for the 9/11 proceedings would be a courtroom with subpoena power, rules for swearing in witnesses, and established protocols for handling questioning, cross-examination, and evidence. And ultimately, one would hope, real accountability for the actions that led to the deaths of so many.
I represent 1,550 architects and engineers who are calling for a real investigation into the destruction of the three World Trade Center high-rises on 9/11. We are gathering together to demand a real investigation that accounts for all of this evidence, that uses the scientific method relative to its examination, that uses immunity to bring forth witnesses, and takes testimony under oath. That'll be a real investigation. And we don't know who is capable of performing that yet. That's beyond our area of expertise. But we hope the Toronto hearings will aid us toward that end.
Building 7, which was across the street from the main towers, also collapsed and provided us with the first example that we recognized of a building collapsing as a result of fire.
Up until 9/11, we had never had a collapse of a protected steel building. But we've now had one. We now need to look and see what occurred.
Fire is an organic process. It moves through a building every 20 minutes or so. Burns out one area, looking for fresh new fuel sources. So when a building falls due to fire, and by the way, you'll note that never before in the history of skyscrapers have we lost one due to fire, but say in a wood frame building, the building will begin to fall over asymmetrically, not straight down through the path of what was the greatest resistance. We have over 100 examples of very hot, large, and long-lasting fires in steel frame skyscrapers. Not one of them has ever collapsed. For instance, the 6-hour fire over 5 floors in New York, in LA, 3.5 hours over 5 floors,
In Philadelphia, 18 hours over 8 floors. And in Caracas, Venezuela, 17 hours over 26 floors. Not one of these has ever collapsed. Now, here is some mid-rise buildings that have collapsed due to earthquakes in this case. We have the building falling over to the path of least resistance. It's a chaotic process. Note that you can see at the bottom, on the ground, what was a building. It's recognizable as a building. The structural steel components have not dismembered from each other. The concrete is not pulverized to powder. This is really important because when we look at the three high-rises on 9/11, we see something quite different. Prepare yourself. These buildings were blown up with explosions. There's thick, billowing, enormous clouds of pyroclastic-like smoke with suspended solids from the pulverized building materials and concrete. Let's take a look at controlled demolitions where explosions can be harnessed quite efficiently. We have hundreds of examples from all across the country from which to make our comparison. Because this is how we use explosives to demolish high-rises. So this is what a high-rise looks like while it's being demolished with explosives. Controlled demolitions can be engineered in many different ways. Normally, the purpose is to bring a structure down while avoiding damage to adjacent structures, and to do so quite efficiently, economically too. Typically, a tall building like these are demolished by placing thousands of cutter charges throughout the columns and beams in the building and then detonating them in a very precise order, progressing outward and upward, synchronistically timed floor by floor. Destroying the inner columns allows the weight of the building to pull the exterior inward, and destroying the building from the bottom up allows the weight of the building to be harnessed to do some of the destruction. So the result is an implosion like you see here, producing a vertical, symmetrical collapse at nearly freefall acceleration into a consolidated rubble pile that's broken up and ready for loading and shipment. Let's listen to Dan Rather narrate this as we take what may be our first look at World Trade Center 7's collapse.
Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Is there a straight-down symmetrical collapse of this building into its own footprint? Let's look from West Street. I'm not quite convinced yet, though. Let's look at side-by-side comparison here. On the left is World Trade Center 7. On the right is a known controlled demolition. Is there any similarity? Is there enough similarity to warrant an investigation into the possible use of explosives, particularly given that every high-rise that has come down with explosives, and that no high-rise has ever come down due to fires?
They claim that they considered explosions, and they ruled them out based on the fact that they were not credible because they weren't loud enough. And that was their criteria. That was their justification for not looking at data about explosions. Well, there's lots of evidence of explosions. If you think about it, there's lots of ways that explosives could be used to take out a building. Instead of completely cutting a column, they might have cut the joints. They might have blown the bolts. They could have done all kinds of things as methods of taking out a column. They could have used incendiaries to take out the column more slowly and weaken the building, and so any last-minute blast was just a minimal thing to do the final breakage and so forth. But there's a lot of ways that you could tailor how noisy the actual process ended up being. So they're using a very high threshold of sound as their criterion for what's even going to be considered in their research. And so they just flat out did not look at explosives, period.
There's really no question. It's a classic demolition. All support has been removed and the building falls straight down. We've seen it many times, always and only as a result of demolition. This is a profile of the World Trade Center Building 7. It was a tall trapezoidal-shaped building. It's situated a little more than 100 meters north of the North Tower across Vesey Street. It's 47 stories or 174 meters or 571 feet tall. Its footprint is basically the size of an American football field. It has 58 perimeter columns and 25 core columns. It was a massive building. The 23rd floor housed a specially reinforced bunker for the New York City Office of Emergency Management. The tenants of the building in 2001 included Solomon Smith Barney, the IRS, Regional Council, the U.S. Secret Service, DOD, CIA, New York City Office of Emergency Management, Security Exchange Commission, and several banks and insurance companies. Needless to say, it was a very security-minded place. A student took a video of me dropping a soccer ball from a ladder. I imported the video into Tracker, then marked the position of the ball in each frame. Tracker captures the position and time data from which it can compute velocity and acceleration and graph anything versus anything else, basically. This is a graph of velocity versus time for that soccer ball as it's dropped. And notice that the slope, that this basically is a linear graph when you take velocity versus time when there's a constant acceleration. So note here, the slope is nearly constant at about 9.8 meters per second squared. Notice how in the end it deviates from a straight line, because as the speed builds up, the drag increases, and so you're actually getting a little bit of a noticeable effect due to air resistance, even just from the ball dropping a few meters like that.
Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening in. That video I actually posted inside of Tando, today's video. Very, very powerful, powerful video. And what they were doing there was the first that I was aware of professional investigation as to what happened in New York. And why is that so important? Because of what happened in New York is the setup for what's happening right now. The people that we are dealing with are very patient. They don't think like the general population does. They don't think 2 weeks out in advance. They don't think a month out in advance. They think 50 years in advance, 100 years in advance, and 300 years in advance. And it's so important that we understand that that's what we need to do in so many ways. But as they were starting to lay out, and we're going to play this because it's like a 2 hour long documentary, and we're going to play it in segments from time to time. Very, very good documentary. And it's so important because what you were seeing back then is setting up for what's happening now. Some of the things I wanted to make mention that was so important is that the story that they were giving you is a total lie. And this was the total media propaganda that went on forever. And then not only that, they brought in the military worship. the worshiping of the military, and they brought in the worshiping of the overall government and the need for the government to start to seize some of the liberties that they've decreed within their preambles, within their documentations, and within their decrees. And they wanted to start to slowly take that away from you. Why is that so important? That's important because of this. If there's a king that gives you freedom, then it's a king that you will worship. And so often we talk about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and your civil rights and everything else. Well, whenever you talk about that, you're giving up your absolute and primary rights that have been given to you by the great creator. It's a real trick that is played against the people. Get them paying attention to what they can have. And the only way that they could do that is through school. You have to be schooled. Not educated, but schooled. There's a big difference. When you're being schooled, that means you can recite what's been told to you. When you have an education, that means that you can do a process of theory and a process of experiments to come to a conclusion, being fact or fiction or evidence of likelihood of things, where you think for yourself. That's being educated. Schooled is being nothing more than to repeat, and that's all that they've done throughout time with the people, because they need people to maintain the overall slave paradigm that they've invoked. Very important thing about what happened at New York was the building, number 7. There are some very, very important things that are going to make itself very known to you, the everyday person, very soon. And this is some of the things that was important. Within Building 7, some of the things, they gave you a list of some of the occupants of the building. Some of the very important things was the Security and Exchange office. Why is that so important? Within that, there was also the insurance company, major insurance company, and there were other major financial institutions that were there that had the records for the debt that was owed, that this country owed. And really important was the SEC, Security Exchange Commission. Why is that so important? That was important because the pensions and the stocks and the financial records that are the key to your retirement, to your quality of life, and to your overall financial future was held there. And one of the things before you commit a crime is that you want to cover it up before you do it. And 9/11 had nothing to do with then and there. It had everything to do with the future for the collapse of the economy that they were going to have. And it was symbolic that they used that because they were going to demolish it. They built it, they will demolish it. And that was one of the key things about Building 7 and why that was so important. And then also, there was also the documentation of the debt that is old via the derivatives and everything else, even though the derivatives have exploded since then, but the overall documentation of the debt that was old and who had legal standing in those debts. Within the towers themselves was also information on who the major players financially were. You had, you know, the one lady's husband worked at Canton Fitzgerald. And if you know anything about that company, that's nothing more than a CIA front. That's why you'll see them all the time on Cerebrally Naive Network and on the different financial place, because that's where all of them go. It's so, so important that you know what's happening here. So now, when those particular buildings were demolished, and the evidence is there, and they got away with it, and they got away with it because they got away with it because they used the media outlet to get away with it. They told you what to think, instead, not you, the Tando radio listeners, talking about the general population. They told the general population what to think, and the general population bought it. They bought it so much that they was ready to go to war, and they sanctioned, you know, the war. And then after a while, they said, wait a minute, wait a minute. And they gave, there was some liability. People didn't really trust the Bushes. But they still bought off on it and saying, oh, well, that's just conspiracy theory. But what was really happening was they were setting up the world for 20 years down the line, 15 years down the line. These people move at a pace that you don't, that we don't. They're not harried for time because they don't have to be. Ways and means. Our way of life provides for their means of life. So they can wait. They can wait. While we are busy trying to maintain our standard of living and our quality of life at every second of the day. And that is a terrible position to be in because you don't have a position of advantage. You're actually being used. Because what they want to do is they want to take your labor and the energy that you produce from your day. By taking that and having you work for them, executing your energy, you've created a life form for them. And you've created an economy that is a person, is not a living spirit, but is still a person. And by you continuously giving energy to it, it lives. And now it grows. And that the growth of it now can be used and leveraged in a way to maintain itself and to keep you from having your energy to work for you. So when they destroyed these buildings, what they were really doing was creating a paradigm so that the rest of the world will fall into their trap that they had for war, to depopulate the planet, to bring in massive fear, so that people will be willing to give up whatever it is that they have as long as the pain will stop. What pain will that be? That pain that they plan on having is that every person that you know has a form of an addiction to the currency that they've created in one way or another. Some people have it or are more addicted to it than others. But we all are in some form because it's the only form of being able to sustain ourselves that we've ever known outside of those that have decided to leave that system, to get off the grid, to walk away from it. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to walk away from the off the grid. If that's something that you want to do, then there are things that you need to do and you can research and do that yourself. You're quite aware of that because if you're thinking about doing that, you've done a lot of research into it. But what this means is this: for the everyday person that still is going to participate in this economy, well, then you should restructure and dismantle the economy that you have now and require that it be one that is not filled with ubiquitous fraud. And the only way that that is going to happen is if you demand it. And how do you demand that that happen? By the way that you leverage your energy. Because without the energy, that person of the economy can no longer exist. You cut off the power. You cut off the energy. There is no power to run any device, any living spirit without power. Has no energy, no longer exists in that form. So what they were setting up in this whole thing was that they knew that they were going to bring the pain, and they had to bring it in a way in which you would not be aware as to what was happening. And the pain that they're going to bring is going to be from the economic collapse. They're going to collapse the economy. You hear me say this all the time, but they're not going to collapse their economy. They're going to collapse the common man's economy. And from collapsing that economy, people are going to experience things in poverty like they've never experienced before. Yes, we've known poverty here in the United States in our community, but not like what's coming. Because that's the plan. It's their economy. They built it. They can demolish it at any time that they want to. And they are going to do that to leverage themselves to get a position of control over you more than what they have now. Because their appetite for control is insatiable. It can never be fed. It can never be enough. They always want more. And what the plan will be is to collapse that economy, and then from that happening, to bring about economic misery, and then they're going to extend that and further that through war. And they're going to, in that war, is going to be much pain that will be brought to the general population. They will depopulate the planet even more, and then the people that are here will just be begging for it to stop. And what they're going to say in order for this to stop is that we're going to have more control so that groups and organizations as the ones that instituted this and brought us to this point can no longer exist. So you're going to have to give up. We need to know everything about you. And you're going to have to work within these confines of freedom, man's freedom. This is why their agenda has nothing to do with just some people, has to do with everyone. Completely. And the rest of the world will buy off on this program, especially because of the tyrannic reign and the colonization that this country has been engaged in for centuries, and what it has perpetuated against the other people of the world for years, since the Bretton Woods establishment, really since the moment that the world was put on notice by fear when they dropped two nuclear bombs in Japan. That put the rest of the world on notice that we're the new big bully on the block. Excuse me, not we, the U.S. is, because I don't align myself with anything that they do. And because of that, the rest of the world was forced, and the people of the world was forced into whatever they want, give them. And then they came up with this facade that this is a land of freedom and the brave, and this is the way to live and everything else. How did they do that? They did that from its economic ability. Everyone wanted to be able to take care of their family. Everyone wanted to be able to have some form of wealth, commercial wealth. Everyone wanted to have a form of comfortable living. So what did they do? They looked at the U.S. as being that. Because that's what the handlers wanted to establish. And then there would be a side that you would take, that this is the country and the organization that sets the pace for freedom, sets the pace for this, sets the pace for that, for everyone else to follow. And the Western culture was established through fraud, and through murder, and through colonization. And it was actually a way of training the rest of the world to what was acceptable by governments against people. By governments against people. So that the people would not realize who they really are. And that they can't receive any form of freedom from another man. Man can't give you freedom. He can create a system that manipulates it away from you to get you to surrender it. And that's what we've done. And we've done it through comfort. We want it to be comfortable. And in being comfortable, there was a price that had to come from being comfortable. And in that price from being comfortable, it had an adverse effect in other places in the world. And what happens is that we only saw what the handlers wanted us to see. They only showed you the government. They only showed you the corporations that they wanted you to see. Those were the celebrity figures that they wanted you to see so that you would look to them as the problem or take out any form of anger or whatever, or participation with them. You would get on one side, and just like a team, you root for this team, so this team is always right. That you root for that team, and that team is always right. If you listen to our language when we talk about sports, you see where people will say my team or we won. Not even knowing that you've just created a derivative. You devised value from something that you have no intrinsic connection to at all. Or you're not, you have no real vested interest in. The very teams that we talk about, they don't pay you. You have no dealings with them unless you are part of the organization. And this was perpetuated because this is a destructive schooling that happened. So now, how does this work now? Well, what's happening now, the advent of the wars are going to continue to grow. Because once they go down that path of war and they do it strategically, not because they think it's the temperature and the barometer of the people of the world. This is why they always are in a count of how many people are in the world. Because they've been practicing this age-old governance for millennia, for a very long time. It's psychological control of the masses. And they know at a particular point, they need this particular style of tool and method to go into effect to control their overall objective, to achieve their objective. So right now was ripe for what we have now, the advent of the internet with the information and everything else. It was all perpetuated by, they allowed that to happen because it was their creation in itself. If you didn't know that the internet was created by CERN, the very same people that brought you the Large Hadron Collider. Because they're able to control all of the information that they want because they knew where the population of the world was. And people would start to commune together, start to ask some very tough questions. Stop buying into the old facade. The old facades of religion no longer have the stronghold over the people. The old forms of political organization no longer had the stronghold of the people. The social strongholds didn't have the strength that they had before. The economic control didn't have the same strength that it had before. And when they start to lose their overall ability and their strength, now they move to depopulation. They come up with elaborate schemes such as global warming. They come up with elaborate schemes such as terror groups. They come up with resources being scarce so that you would create famines and disease, which is so unnecessary. So they start the overall controlling mechanism to destroy. They start those wheels rolling. And in this current time, this event was just one of the many events to indicate to you where we were in history and where we were going. You will see some very similar events that are happening now that happened in the 1920s, the 1930s, and the 1940s. And you will see some very similar events that happened in the end of the 1800s to move into 1910 and everything else. Whenever you see the global wars, because there's been more than one than two, there's been plenty of them. There's been actual evidence of nuclear wars that happened back during the Sumerian time, 2,000 years before Christ, because there are scars and there's evidence of nuclear technology in exchange, in detonation. Whenever you have that type of detonation, it's going to leave evidence behind. So, this is nothing new. But what has to be done is that we have to see where we are, wake up to it, and prepare for it so that it doesn't have the effect in the desirable direction that they want. Because they are going to engage in war against the people of the world. They are going to engage in wars via the boundaries of borders that they've established. The U.S. versus China, the U.S. versus Russia. Let me tell you why they are. Because there will be people that have a derivative approach or a no vested interest in the corporation of America or the corporation of China or the corporation of Russia that will fight their battles for them because it's the honorable thing to do. It's what's determined as you being doing what for God, country, and family. They've interwoven that to debase it and to make it and to have it to be profane so that you will give up your natural freedom, your absolute right. So we're going to see these things that continue to unfold. I just want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back live tomorrow and we will finish this video and a couple of other things that we're going to do. Oh, we will definitely, I'm glad I just thought about it. If you're interested in the sales rep and the distributing for G&A Security, you can definitely email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. If you're interested in, if you have a professional service that you would like to assist with, the organization, you can also email me. And if you are looking to invest in that, in Dr. Alexander's business, you can also email me and let me know what it is that you like to do with your, if you're an investor, a profession, if you have a professional service, or you would like to be a salesperson and a distributor. Just email me and I will let you know when those individual conference calls will go. I just want to say, thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Remember, before you ask for a blessing, to be a blessing, and it's never goodbye, it's I'll always see you later. Much love and much respect. God willing, we will be back tomorrow with a live show. Peace and love. Take care.
Girl, you are rich. Even with nothing, you know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing.